You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. COVID-19 infections were going down in our state. However, state health officials yesterday said they're concerned we could once again go in the wrong direction as the Omicron variant has been detected here in Idaho. Joining us today are Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force, and Dr. Jim Souza, Chief Physician Executive at St. Luke's Health System. Thank you both for joining us today.
Hi, Gemma.
Thank you, Gemma.
Dr. Pate, can you get us up to date on where we are with the Omicron variant in Idaho? We do know that it was detected in Ada County, I believe, late last week.
Yes. So we do have at least that one case, and it's not surprising because it's already been detected in more than half the states. And we would assume that it is pretty much everywhere, you know, in every state, but just at low levels. So we have our first case in Idaho. There will be more. There may be already more because we only sample a small percentage of all the cases of COVID. And so there has to be a fair amount of the virus before we're going to pick it up. That testing takes often it's a lag by a week or so. And realize we just detected Omicron in the world 3 weeks ago. So it's not surprising we don't have a lot of reported cases. I think the thing that we have to be on the lookout is for a rapid rise in those cases based on what we've seen in other countries, and particularly what we're seeing in Denmark and the UK, which probably are more similar to our situation than would be South Africa. And they're certainly seeing a big uptick. I think to evidence of that point is the fact that the CDC director indicated that just in the week between December 4th and December 11th, our cases in the country increased sevenfold. So we're now up to about 3% of all the samples being tested in the United States are Omicron. And again, because of this exponential growth that the viruses does and the lag in our testing, you know, don't be surprised if that number is much higher in a week or two.
So, Dr. Souza, do you have concerns about Omicron? And if so, what are those concerns?
Thank you, Gemma. Yeah, I absolutely do. I think the concern for individuals, the truth is we don't know yet. You know, there is some evidence that it might be less virulent, which is the term we use to, you know, talk about its likelihood of causing disease. But you got to remember when you hear that many of the cases are occurring in people who already have some immunity, either from infection or previous vaccination. And we know that immunity attenuates the severity of this disease. So we'd expect milder cases. What has me the most worried, you know, if you think about the virus and you think about, well, it could become more virulent or it can become more contagious. In terms of what has always been, you know, the true north in trying to contain this pandemic, and I like to remind people of it, it's been trying to prevent an overwhelmed healthcare delivery system. And along those lines, increased infectiousness is a much more worrisome development. You know, I'd maybe just share a quick example. And I was explaining this to my parents last night. If you assume you got a virus that has infected, say, 10,000 people, and assume that virus, each person spreads it to one other person, that's an R naught of one. And that's a term I think your listeners have gotten used to hearing. Mm-hmm. Then let's assume it's got a mortality rate of 1% and a hospitalization rate of 5%. After 10 generations of viral replication, I give it to one person, they give it to one person, and so on. We're going to have 100,000 infections. And if you look at those mortality and hospitalization rates, we'd have 5,000 hospitalizations and 1,000 deaths. If you make the virus 30% more lethal, that sounds bad, and it is bad. But when you run the numbers, we still have 100,000 cases, and now we've got 6,500 hospitalizations and 1,300 deaths. But if you make this virus just 30% more transmissible, now you get into exponential growth, and that's the problem. After 10 generations, you're going to have 450,000 cases, and now you've got 22,000 hospitalizations, and you're overwhelmed. And that's what I'm worried about.
And Dr. Pate, can we talk about just some preliminary studies that are coming out in regards to the vaccine's effectiveness? Now, granted, most of these studies have come out of South Africa. And as you mentioned, maybe that's not the best apples to apples comparison to the United States. With that said, though, these preliminary studies are saying that the Pfizer vaccine is only about 30% effective against Omicron, but it does keep you from severe illness. Now, with that said, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that is not with the booster. So does that change at all? Because this is what is, I think, concerning for many people who have, you know, done all the right things, right? You've gotten vaccinated, you're doing all those things, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, is this going to be effective enough?
Yeah, well, you know, let me try to paint a big picture here. And I also want to tie in some of the points that Dr. Souza just made, because he just made a really important argument, and I'm not sure everybody grasped the significance of it. So let me tie that in with this, because it's a really important point. So the bottom line is, if you are vaccinated, if you are fully vaccinated, and by that, what we currently mean is two doses of the mRNA vaccine, whether it's Pfizer or Moderna, and that you completed that primary series, you should get boosted if it's been 6 months since your second dose. The booster will give you additional protection against the Omicron variant. But what the data that you just reported, Gemma, what that tells us is that, yes, Omicron does have some degree of what we call immune escape, or, you know, ability to get around some of the prior protection. And frankly, mm-hmm. that's whether you got infected or vaccinated. That's an important point, because we're seeing a lot of reinfections as well. And so it is going to be less effective based on those lab studies, those test tube results. Now, our bodies are different, and it's more complicated than that. But yes, those studies suggest that if you've been vaccinated, just the full series, or if you've been previously infected, you do have still a fair amount of protection against severe disease. And we've gotten spoiled, because when these vaccines came out initially, it was in the mid to high 90s of protection from severe disease. Now we're talking about, with Omicron, looks like it could be down to maybe 70%. I'll remind people that when we were on this show before the vaccines came out, we were just hoping for something in excess of 60%. So we got really spoiled with the 90%. So 70 is still good, but it's not as high as we'd want. And that's because we're letting this transmission go on. People are not, you know, saying that we need to come together and do something to stamp out this transmission. So we're allowing these variants to come out. And whether we're going to have a big problem with Omicron, which I share the concerns of Dr. Souza, or whether it's the next one or a next one after that, we're going to have problems. So it just means that if you've been fully vaccinated, you need to get a booster shot. If you've been infected, yes, you get some immune protection, just like those that got fully vaccinated. But you also need to get vaccinated because it won't be enough. And let me go back now and just tie in the point that Dr. Souza was making, which is really profound and few people understand that. And that is, if we have to make a trade-off, if we were asked, okay, you're going to have a new variant, do you want it to be less virulent, to use his word, cause less severe disease, you can have that and it be more transmissible, or you can have it be more virulent but less transmissible. Which one do you want? In general, you want the less transmissible. And because of exactly what Dr. Souza said, even if it causes less severe disease, if it's more transmissible, you're going to infect many more people. And those, even though it's milder, you're going to have more people in the hospital and more deaths. Mm-hmm. So we are pretty convinced this Omicron is more transmissible. There is certainly a fair amount of evidence suggesting that it might cause milder disease. I think I want to hold that judgment a little bit longer because you have to remember, when this all started, it was 5 weeks till we saw our first death in the United States with this. So, you know, deaths are a lagging indicator. We shouldn't be making judgments just here 3 weeks into this as to whether we're seeing milder disease. Yes, there are some indicators, but I wouldn't hang my hat on it yet.
And before we go to break, Dr. Souza, can I ask you about FDA approval on boosters for 16 to 17 year olds? This came out late last week. Will we likely see this happening for younger kids? And I'm also asking in full transparency, because I'm a mom to a 13-year-old who this week is at the 6-month mark of getting, you know, being fully vaccinated. And I'm frankly very concerned.
I hope we will. And I think we can, I think we may. I guess I'm reluctant to predict what the FDA is going to do.
Yeah.
But I sure hope so, Gemma, because I think it would help us deal with the surge that's probably coming, unfortunately.
Yeah. Before we get into listener questions, Dr. Souza, with what we know so far about the Omicron variant, what should then people be doing to try to keep from getting infected?
I think we know all the right things to do. Be safe, especially if you're going to be around vulnerable people. As we approach the holidays here, think about those folks and try not to make their holiday gift a trip to the intensive care unit. Of course, get a vaccine. That's your best protection. It's everyone's best protection. So as we head into these holidays, congregate with vaccinated people. Make it really clear as you have those events to the folks you're inviting that if you're not feeling well, please don't come. That's not cool. Understand who you're with. And if there are vulnerable folks, you know, elderly or immune compromised, consider taking some additional steps to protect them. You could help them wear a mask. You could consider having others wear a mask, particularly if they're not vaccinated. If you've got access to self-tests, that is another enhancement here to safety that you could consider doing before gatherings, right? A self-administered test to provide an extra, it's not a guarantee, but extra assurance that individuals attending are safe. And then don't forget about the simple stuff like airflow. I mean, if you can, open a window. I'd say during this short period of time, it might be a little better to burn a little extra fossil fuel.
Yeah. Speaking of getting tested, Dr. Pei Su wrote in saying, I had some mild COVID-like symptoms Saturday, felt fine Sunday, but I did need to get a COVID test before I could go back to work. But there aren't any 15-minute rapid test kits at Boise drugstores. They're out. One pharmacy said they could do the test by appointment only 3 days later, and then it would take 3 to 7 days to get the results. I cannot isolate at home that long. I will lose my job. Where can normal working people get a 15-minute test the day they need it? Please help. Dr. Payne, I don't know if you have that answer, but I think this is something we're probably going to be running into more and more.
Yeah, it is a challenge to get those rapid tests that she's referring to. There are some pharmacies. You may have a little bit better luck with some of the bigger name national chain ones that have a little bit more access to buying. But it's still going to be hit and miss. So you may have to make a number of calls to find one. The other thing is, even if you can't get one of those tests, there are places you can go to get the PCR test, the one that, you know, that we have to send off to a special lab. You can get those at certain urgent cares, and Dr. Souza could speak to what's available through St. Luke's and St. Al's at this time, because I'm less familiar, but certainly a lot of the urgent cares do have that test. You may have to wait till the next day to get a result, but you shouldn't have to wait as long as what she said in her question.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Souza, I know in the past, I mean, it's been, you could go into a St. Luke's urgent care or St. Al's urgent care and get tested.
Yeah, the clarification I need to provide, and there's a bit of frustration as I share this, is, you know, in terms of a rapid asymptomatic test, that's what I think the listener is asking for here. So no symptoms, you feel well, but you want a rapid turnaround test. You can, at any St. Luke's urgent care, walk in and get a free one of the vault tests, which are these tests offered through health and welfare. It's a self-collected saliva test. It's free. And then you got to turn it into UPS yourself, register online, and you get your results though in 1 to 3 days. So it's not the 15-minute turnaround. In terms of rapid asymptomatic tests that we would administer with better quality control, we unfortunately can't do those due to our, there's this organization called CLIA, our CLIA lab accreditation, because those tests don't have FDA authorization for asymptomatic use. And believe you me, I find it beyond ironic that one federal entity, the CDC, is recommending this approach while another, CLIA, forbids it because a third, FDA, hasn't authorized it. Mm. It's frustrating. For your listener, I did check just yesterday, and the large national pharmacy that has an outpost on the Whole Foods campus had kits 2 for $23 yesterday.
So that is good to know. Dr. Pate, Lori writes in, if I had 2 Pfizer shots, is there any reason why I could not get the Moderna as the third booster shot?
Well, there's no reason she cannot. I think the more difficult question is, should she? And I think, you know, that jury is still out. I think what a lot of people point to is a study that was looking at the safety of mixing and matching vaccines that seem to suggest that you might get a benefit from doing what she's proposing. But the study wasn't designed to answer that question. And frankly, they were pretty small numbers. So, you know, it's not the current recommendation, but the FDA and the CDC has also said, that's not what we're recommending, but you can do that. And I think it's going to be some time before we can really answer the question, is she better off doing that or just sticking with the same vaccine as her primary series?
Dr. Sousa, Brian wrote in. He said he got both of his shots in the spring, but he did test positive over the summer, slight symptoms. He got his booster this month in December, but he was unaware that he must have been infected that same day. Brian says, I thought I was experiencing kind of a booster hangover. Turned out a long period of painful coughing, slight fever. So what he wants to know is his booster effective or should he get another booster?
Good question. Yeah, I would not recommend getting another dose of the booster right now. I don't, for Brian here, I don't know if the booster actually had any impact on his symptoms. I think one could argue it. Yeah, it might have hurt the way he's suggested. It also might have helped. I'm just not sure. I think the point for him is that he has pretty robust immunity for a while here to protect him against the severe outcomes, right? The ones that he's really mm-hmm. going to care about, hospitalization and admission to the ICU and death. And that's what's important. I mean, we know immunity is imperfect in preventing an infection. We've known that from the very first trials. We also, though, know that immunity is a lot closer to perfect in preventing death. And we know you can get immunity through infection or vaccination. It turns out on that point, the cost, both the real costs and the human suffering costs of naturally acquired immunity are much higher than vaccine immunity. And it's much less safe than vaccine immunity. But I think Brian's okay. And I would not recommend that he rush out. And sounds like he's thinking he needs to get a fourth shot. I wouldn't recommend that right now.
We just got an email from Catherine. And it's in regards to another listener's concerned about finding a rapid COVID test. So I wanted to share this information with our audience because Catherine wrote in saying, Boise State University is offering testing for anyone in the community for free with an appointment made online. Results in less than a day. She says it's an excellent community service with quick results. So hopefully for our listeners who have issues with having to take time off of work and things like that, that this will be a source right there. So Catherine, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Dr. Sousa, Kate wrote in, and this is, we've talked about this in the past, and it's kind of one of those questions regarding risk. So Kate says, I'd like any advice for visiting my grandchildren, who are 4 and 7. They live in the Bay Area. I'm boosted, so are the parents, and a fully vaccinated 7-year-old. Is it safe for me to fly and visit? My concern is the 4-year-old. I'm going to the Bay Area. They have a low positivity rate. I will wear an N95 and a face shield in the airport and on the flight. And Dr. Payne, I mean, these are questions that are coming in pretty regularly as we're in the holiday season. And a lot of people, it's been a long time since they've seen family.
So was that to me, Gemma?
I said Dr. Payne, but either of you can answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Dr. Sousa, but I think.
Dr. Payne, are you not paying attention?
Well, I was, but you start. I think it's your fault, Gemma.
It is. I said Dr. It is. It is. I said Dr. Payne, then I said Dr. Sousa.
All right.
Look, well, I've been on the air since 6 a.m. I'm tired.
Well, all right. Well, you get a pass this time. I'll start and then let Dr. Sousa add on. I think that with respect to holiday plans, you need to think about what are your own risks? Are you fully vaccinated? Have you gotten boosted if you are eligible? Because if the answer to either of those is no, it's not going to be a safe time for you to travel, especially if you're going through an airport, airplane. And, airplanes, by and large, they do generally have very good air circulation, but we have a handful of well-documented cases of spread on airplanes. So I think that the next point is if you are fully vaccinated and you are boosted, if you're eligible, then as your listener said, she would wear a N95 mask. I think you do need to wear a high quality mask while you're in the airport and while you're on the plane. And you need to be careful about if the flight is long enough that you're going to be having something to drink or eat, because then that's going to mean you taking your mask off. So be very, very careful about that. The other thing, after you look at your own risks, then you have to think about the risks of who you're going to visit. You have to have an idea of what is the disease transmission there. And the listener said, well, she's going to the Bay Area and it's low. Also understand at the moment, things are changing quickly. So it may be low today. If that trip is in 2 weeks, it may be different. And so you need to assess that. You also need to consider, as Dr. Souza had previously referenced, is anybody that you're going to be with high risk? An older person, somebody with that maybe is going undergoing cancer therapy, somebody that's immunocompromised because of medicines they're taking. All of those are factors you need to take into consideration. Additionally, you need to think about the risk of that child. As I think the listener said, it's a four-year-old child. That means that child is not going to be vaccinated. And it also means that depending on the child, a four years old is a pretty good age. They should be able to wear a mask. The question is, will they wear a mask correctly and keep it on? That may be more of the challenge, but understand that child will be put at risk, and that child, even though the child, we don't worry so much that they will get severely ill. It's possible. That's not the biggest concern. The concern is they'll get infected and spread it to others. Finally, I would just add, think about where you're going. Now, this particular submitter of this question said the Bay Area. So there's lots of good healthcare resources, but think about where you're going, because we're not through Delta in every part of the country. In fact, a lot of parts of our country, particularly Midwest and Northeast part of the United States, are struggling mightily. And I'm not sure I would want to go visit an area where those hospitals are overwhelmed, because even if you don't get COVID, other things can happen. And so be very cognizant of that, and especially be planning ahead. If we do need healthcare, what's going to be available? What would we access? Where could we go? So those are various factors, and I'm sure Dr. Souza will have his own thoughts.
Actually, I don't. I think Dr. Pate hit them all. Yeah, thanks, David.
So, Dr. Souza, another listener wrote in, and she says, I just found out a coworker is unvaccinated. I'm vaccinated. I'm boosted. I'm only around her once a week in a fairly open space, but barely 6 feet apart. She just got COVID. She says she's not worried about her exposure because she hasn't seen her in a while. But the listener goes on to say, however, I am concerned as to whether or not to do my one day a week at home. My husband, while he is in good health, is 80. It is hard to leave a mask on the whole time since the work involves being on the phone. So I'm getting that I believe her question is, Dr. Souza, should she just work outside of the home all the time or take that one day option of being in her house to work?
Yeah, I probably would. But, you know, I think this comes down to her individual choices and assessment of risk. You mentioned that her husband's older. I think if I had the ability to be able to work at home and eliminate that risk, given that she's identified it, I would. You know, once community activity is back down, that would potentially change the risk calculation. Also, once we no longer have a new highly contagious variant that we think will pretty rapidly overtake Delta in our communities. Once that has passed, that also could change the risk. You know, on the mask wearing, if she is working on the phone, I get that. I'd only point out that, you know, you're talking to someone who still does some clinical work too. And, you know, our clinical teams, they wear masks for 12 hours a day with very few breaks. And it is a hassle, but, you know, it certainly doesn't cause any harm. Wanted to make sure I said that.
Dr. Pate, we had a listener write in saying, we're hearing that those of us who are fully vaccinated should get the booster to protect from Omicron. Well, I've also heard that the booster is only effective for a few months. Number one, is that true? And if so, those of us who got a booster are getting close to the end of effectiveness. So should we get another booster?
So, let me just clarify, because that listener is largely correct. Let me just qualify it a little better and make it a little bit more technically correct. It's not that the booster loses its effect in a couple months or several months. There is still going to be effect and there is going to be some protection. The issue is that we still don't understand the entire, what we call correlates of immunity. In other words, what that means is, how do I do a test on you, Gemma, and determine, oh, you're fully protected? We don't have that ability. We can make some inferences, and we do that based on our evolving understanding that it looks like that probably the most important thing to keep you from getting infected is those so-called neutralizing antibodies. And if you're looking at the studies where it shows decreased effectiveness, usually what they're doing is looking at how much do the neutralizing antibodies decrease. The problem is we don't know at what level you're protected. And so if you go higher than that level, you can still afford to come down because you're still going to be okay and protected. And that's the effect of the booster with respect to Omicron. However, it is probably time limited and we don't know that time. There is some evidence coming in showing that the protection doesn't go away, but it probably declines with time. And so right now we don't have an official recommendation of when should you get a fourth shot. I think that will be coming. Right now, the first thing is if I could just get everybody to get done with their primary series, holy smokes, life would be good. If you have gotten through your primary series and it is time, please do go get a booster because you're going to get some added benefit. But I want to remind everybody, if you're vaccinated, you're going to have some good protection against ending up in the hospital and meeting Dr. Souza in person. So the question is whether you're going to get infected. And this applies to those that have previously been infected. There is no question that people that get infected, many of them do have some protection, but just like vaccine, that goes away with time too. So if you're fully vaccinated, get boosted. If you've had COVID, get the vaccine series.
I want to thank both of you for your time today. We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force, along with Dr. Jim Souza, Chief Physician Executive at St. Luke's Health System. If you do have a COVID-19 question, our medical experts will be back with us. So send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thank you both.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you.